the fact that today we'll deal with two topics, the topic of harchaka and how a woman prepares herself to become tahora. So in terms of harchakot, siman kuf tzari hei sif alef, chayev adam lefrosh me yishto b'yemei tum asa, ad shetispor v'titbol. Afilu sha'asa zman aruch v'lo tavla tamihi b'nirsa ad shetitbol. This nowadays applies to a woman from the time that she physically matures until she gets married. That we have over here two levels of prisha. We have the level of prisha from Tashmish Hamita. That's Lekulei Alma Midaraisa with a chiyuv of kares. And then we have the question of chibuk v'nishuk. Namely, here again, ishto simply falls into the broader category of nida, where there, in the world of Arayos, we have an Isra of Klibuk and Nishuk. According to the Rambam, we're dealing with an Isra Doraisa, Lo Sikravu Legalo Serva. According to the Ramban, in the Hasagos, the Sefer HaMitzvot, Shin Nun Gimel, we're dealing either with an Isra Drabanan or a Doraisa without Malkos. In any case, as I mentioned, these are Dinim, Chayev Adam Lifrosh, B'yemei Tum Asa, Achet Yisbar V'titbol. Here, ishto is simply part of a broader category of nida, whether she's an eishes ish or whether she's a pnuya. Then we move over into special harchakot, as they're called, that apply to an eishes ish. That's the continuity of the machaber, lo yisrok, lo yakel roshima, and that's the rest of the siman, that since the assumption is that Baruch Hashem, a husband, feels a tremendous amount of affection towards his wife, libo gaspa, we're afraid that if he behaves as usual, business as usual, he may come to forget that she is nida in terms of the first set of prisha. And therefore, rather than call them harchakot, I'd rather call them reminders. We have reminders that she is a nida, shelo yavo lehergil davar, shelo yargil leavera. So over here in this sif, we have two reminders. Lo yischok means to be frivolous. As to whether it applies to mischakim, to playing with one's wife parlor games like checkers and chess. So in Shimon Eider's book, he says that it includes these as well, unless she's in a situation of either being b'choli ruach, or that she could get to that, namely if we're dealing with a situation of where she is depressed, and his kavona is basically to remove her depression, then that's certainly a tremendous mitzvah. But if Baruch Hashem, she's in good spirits, so, in other words, there, the relationship should be one of an intellectual discussion during that period of time, or discussion on an emotional plane, but not the emotional of schok. V'lo yokel imarosh afilu b'dvarim. This does not include giving gifts. In other words, giving gifts to one's wife is not schok nor kalut rosh, it's menschlichkeit. And therefore, if one normally brings flowers home on Erev Shabbos, that should not change, chas v'shalom, if during the fact that she's in nida. The crazy uplasi, Yonos Naibshitz al-Atar, points that out. Sif beis, lo yigaba afilu be'etzba ketana v'lo yoshit miyado liyado shum davar v'lo yikablenu miyado shema yigaba besara v'chena yidei zrika miyado liyado lehipoch yisur. We have over here three different halachot. One halacha of one isur of negia. We're not talking over here about a negia shalchiba. Negia shalchiba, that comes under prisha. That may be a din d'oraisa. Here we're dealing with the reminder. The reminder is negia per se, transferring objects one to the other or throwing objects from one to the other. Those are the three halachot that are mentioned over here. In terms of negia, look in the Pisrei Tshuva at the end of Sifkaton Gimel, Kosav Od Sham B'Siman Nun Chet, this is in the Tashbetz, D'liga B'Begadeha Ba'oda Levusha Yesh Lihisrachek, Aval K'she'in Aleha Mutar Tshlones Ar Mishkav U'Moshav Shele Ela Letaros. There's no Easter of taking her coat out of the closet, but holding your wife's coat while she goes into the coat, or while she gets out of the coat, that's considered to be part of the Easter of Negia, nothing to do with touching her body, simply touching, in other words, that you would feel the movement of her body in a very, very real manner. The question of hoshata, of handing things from one to another, so the Shach over here points out in Sifkatan Bet Gimel, afilu bedavar shehu aruch. In other words, we have over here a lo plug, If she were to hold one end of the table, you'd hold the other end of the table, you have a table between you, you're not allowed to lift it and to move it together. What about in terms of a baby, transferring a baby from her to you? So we'll go back into Piskei Tshuva, Sukkot on Gimel, about five lines into the Piskei Tshuva. Ayein betashbetz chel gimel simen and chet besimen reish lamed. Shekos of the muter litol miyada hatinok mishum dechai nosei es atzmo. Vehi ena osakum el hatinok atzmo hu yotzei mechek imo uba el aviv. That if the baby is at the age where he or she or it makes the first move, namely that it extends itself towards the father or towards the mother, then the father and mother could take it. V'nira dimatino katan, if the baby is below that age, o chole, or we should say, or sleeping, o kafut, asur da'azlo shayach lomar chayno seyatatzmo kamo shekosav hamagen avraham, etc. Namely, that the Tashbit is built on the concept of chayno seyatatzmo, that there is over here a role which is played by the baby. You're not just transferring a book in which you're dealing with husband and wife, but the baby is playing an active role. The Aruch HaShulchan says that that is absurd, that there is no heter of Chai Nosei Es Atzmo. That's a din in Hilchos Shabbos. Rav Willig wants to come up with a different heter in terms of transferring a baby that we'll see later on. But what's mekubal generally is the Tashbetz, namely that it were the baby to take to extend itself towards one parent, the other parent would be allowed to simply let it go and let the other parent take it in that manner. But again, since that requires a certain age, so in terms of being a kvater at a bris, when one's wife is a nida, one should take a rain check, because over here the baby is not going to take any active role. And then this is considered to be hoshata miyado liyada shum davar. Rav Moshe has a tshuva that if one cannot get out of it without public embarrassment, namely that the parents of the baby decided to surprise this couple and without telling them, announced so-and-so and so-and-so will be kvater, so the husband of the woman who's anida doesn't have to commit hari-kari, or my wife's anida, we can't, no, it's not. That, no, it's then, in other words, in such a situation, simply try that there shouldn't be physical contact, and the ikur is that there shouldn't be a problem over here of kavod habrios. But were the husband to be requested by the baal habris, then there's no embarrassment of saying one's wife is anida. Generally, one's wife is anida half of the year, half of her lifetime. It's not an embarrassment. It's a fact. And so, you know, we'll mitzvah Hashem. We'll take a rain check. To lift a carriage together, therefore, is problematic. To push the carriage together would be problematic. Rav Moshe has a tshuva. What if the husband and the wife are in a public area? Let's say they're on the street in front of Grus, and they want to transfer the baby from the husband to the wife. The wife is going to take the baby to a babysitter, and they're in the front of Grus, and the only way of doing it is taking the baby and sort of placing her on the front of a car, and in other words, rather, not to put her on the ground, to put her on the front of a car, and then the wife would take the baby from the husband. So Moshe says, maybe this itself would be public embarrassment. So he says, that's not public embarrassment. Again, the fact that a wife is anida is something which is part and parcel of life. There's no lack of tznius, there's no busha over here. And simply the husband and the wife should come up with some sort of a formula of how to make things be viewed as natural as possible. Car keys have to be transferred, house keys have to be transferred, simply to try and make it as natural as possible, to sort of meander over to a table, just want to put down the keys, just want to pick up the keys. And as you've learned in your few weeks or months or years of marriage, no one's looking, no one cares. Everyone has their own life to lead, and we also have our lives to lead, and this would simply, one has to try and think of a way of doing things that would be, again, as natural as possible, but with the reminder of these harchakot. Okay, let's move over to Siv Gimel. Yeah?
Why is this different than
by the kvater? By the kvater there, the attention is being drawn to the couple by someone else. Namely, someone is announcing, so-and-so, Mr. and Mrs. Goldberg, will be kvater. So in such a situation, for I'm sorry, just to come in. Okay, Mr. and Mrs. Miller will be kvater. So in such a situation, for Mr. Miller to run over and say, excuse us, right? Mr. and Mrs. Goldberg will be kvater. In other words, that already is problematic in terms of, because there the attention was drawn to the individual. But one has to realize that no one's drawing attention to oneself if one behaves in a normal manner. I mean, for a husband to take the car keys, throw them on the ground, and run away and tell his wife, they're there. Right? No, it's, come on. In other words, then you need counseling it for many other reasons. But if it's done very, very naturally, it can be done naturally, yes?
The heterob, if someone just, let's say they have keys in their hand, you can't just not move your hand and the person passes and takes.
No, that's lo yoshit mi yada li yada shum davar.
And also, if someone's, let's say, for example, also holding a coat. So the coat, literally, if there's nothing to put on, you just drop it on the floor?
No. The coat came from somewhere. So you just get it back to where it was. That's all.
If the scenario would be, I'm saying, where one has the coat and...
Be creative. You're going to be a rabbi, be creative. You learn how to be creative. What would you do if Richard Joel walked into your class when you were teaching? You'd be creative. You'd begin thinking, what if, ethnic impression on him. You'd make an impression. So over here, be creative. That's all. Try and think of a way of getting around the situation. People can be very creative. Yes?
Isn't there like a head there also if there's something that's very heavy and there's nobody else around?
So why does it have to be moved now? I mean, like, what... You know, it's like why bedafkin? You know, someone, you know, again, so
you need to separate the beds.
So the husband and wife should think in advance of what is, you know, the wife is going to become a need. It doesn't come usually as a act of heaven. I mean, these generally there's a cycle. So think of what has to be done. Think of what has to be done in advance. Sif Gimel. And again, if something is not being transferred from one to the other or pushed together in a manner that in which they would feel one another, I'm trying to think of an example. Yes.
Let's say you live on like the fifth floor of an apartment building, and you have a baby carriage that's too heavy for one party to carry up by themselves.
Yes.
So could you carry it up together?
No. So the husband should knock on the door and ask his neighbor, "Would it be okay if you help me with the baby carriage down the stairs while my wife is getting ready? You know, do me a favor and just help me that it'll be ready for when she gets downstairs." I mean, it's just to think, you know, again, to think things through. Generally would be able to come up with some solution. Okay. Sif Gimel. Lo yochal ima al hashulchan ela imken yesh shum shinui shiyehe shum davar mafsik ben kara shalo le kara shalo lechem o kankano shiyochal kol echad b'mapa shalo. Here we have a concept that eating together, achila mishutefet, shows a degree of chiba. Who you sit next to in the cafeteria shows that there is generally a connection between the two of you. Therefore, if only one party is eating, everyone's just sitting to keep them company, that's not a problem at all. The problem is to eat as a couple. Al hashulchan, unless there is some shinui. If we're dealing with a table where the husband would be sitting, let's say, at that end of the table and the wife at this end of the table, that would not be considered to be shulchan echad in terms of the world of basar v'chalav, huhadin kan, that these halachas are learned out in the Gemara and Shabbos from the dinim of basar and gvina. That's the gro over here, sif katan zayin. Al hashulchan de medami b'gemara sham lebasar b'gvina. So if one person is able to eat milchiks and one fleshiks at the end, two ends of a long table, huhadin, a husband and a wife. And if they want to eat in a more cozy setting, so then one requires a shinui. The shinui could be that which is mentioned over here in the Machaber, to have something on the table, which the Taz points out is not usually there. Dafka kishen ochlin me'oso lechem vein shosin me'oso kankan. To have a vase of flowers on the table, to have a salt shaker without salt. Aside from the regular salt shaker, to have something which is normally not on the table that would remind the husband and the wife. Or another option is mentioned over here, kol echa b'mapa shelo, if each person has a placemat, and this is not the normal way of eating. Normally they would eat on the tablecloth or on the table, but when she's in nida, they have placemats, that would be considered to be a shinui. Another option, which is mentioned by the Sidrei Tahara Alatar, change places. Namely, if you have a situation where generally the husband and wife have set places at the table and they were to switch places, that also would serve as a reminder, and that's what we need over here. Again, just having the reminder. What about having other people at the table? Does that take away the need from a reminder. That's a three-way machlokes rishonim. The Rashba says there's no nafkamina, that the husband and the wife live in their own world, and even if there are other people at the table, even if there are other people between them, still one requires the heker spoken about over here in the Shulchan Aruch. According to the Ra'ah, if someone sits next to them, they need a reminder. If someone sits between them, they don't need a reminder. And the Shita, there's a Shita Mukubetzas, I'm sorry, the Birkei Yosef, I'm sorry, the Chidah quotes a Shita, not a Shita Mukubetzas, the Birkei Yosef quotes a Shita of the Mahari Castro, that as long as someone else is at the table, there is no need for a heker. Rav Moshe Paskins, the third way, namely that the only time you need a reminder is when husband and wife eat together. The moment that they begin to have a family and there are kids at the table, there's no longer need for a heker.
Kids, I assume, are not babies, not toddlers? Or what's?
Kids are a heker.
Even a baby? In a high chair?
No, I'm not talking about even a high chair. I mean a person.
I'm saying what age the baby talks, like at what point?
The baby notices. Uh-huh. The baby notices. Okay. Babies notice before they talk. Tov. The Taz over here, let's just move, turn it over the page. The Rama says, the Yesh Omrim, the Taz points out that eating from a communal plate also shows a chiba. If there were to be a big plate of pop, a big bowl of popcorn, and the husband and the wife were to take from the popcorn, even if they take one after the other, it's not a question of touching one another, that's also a form of kurva. Unless, again, there are other people eating from the same bowl, then it doesn't show anything. However, of course, there's no problem if there is a bowl of popcorn and everyone takes popcorn and puts it on their plate. Right? In other words, you're not eating from a common plate. You're just using that as a serving plate. Then, of course, there's no problem. And huadin, too, if there is a bar of butter or margarine, or a jar of jelly, there's no problem to take from that and then put it on one's own bread, on one's own plate. The problem is eating from the plate together, like in the movies having a banana split where this one begins at this end. Okay. Sif Dalid.
Just back to Rebbe.
Yes.
The placemats.
Yes.
Rebbe mentioned that should be something different than usual.
It has to be a heker. The whole purpose of it is to have a heker.
My placemats, first of all, the way he brings it down, it doesn't necessarily sound like it's a shinui. And by basar v'chalav, it doesn't need to be. Meaning, placemats by basar v'chalav, as long as it's on one milch tablecloth, one inflated tablecloth, that's sufficient. It doesn't have
right.
to be
so here
normal.
Also. Yeah.
But it's the meaning. Placemats there are people that always. No.
So if each of them is on a separate tablecloth, clearly that's a heker. Usually you don't put two tablecloths on one table. But there are people who always, when they eat, have a placemat. That's the way they normally eat. So if that's the way they normally eat, that's not considered to be a heker.
But it doesn't, I thought that it wasn't, that a placemat is no longer a shinoi. A placemat is the fact that it makes them separate.
A placemat is like two different tables. So when you have two tablecloths on one table.
Shouldn't it be?
What?
Shouldn't it be two tables even if they do it normally? It's not a question of a shinoi. It's a question of making it two tables.
No. If they do it normally, I would understand the fact that that mm-hmm. it's simply a question of aesthetics. That's the way they decorate the table. Sif Dalad lo yishta mishiyure hakos sheshasasa hi. Here we have an iser to drink, or the previous Ramah, kamosha os yeshom sheasar lo le'echol mishiyure ma'achal shela, kamosha osar lishta mishiyure koshela. So here we have an iser of the husband to eat his wife's leftovers. How do you define a leftover? The leftover is basically the same piece that she began. If we're talking about another piece that's on her plate that she hasn't touched, right, so let's say they give her two frankfurters and she tastes one and doesn't like it, in other words, and tells her husband, would you mind eating the other one? That's not a problem of her leftovers. She hasn't touched it yet. Or if she cut a piece of bread, the loaf is not her leftovers. The piece that she cut is her leftovers. So let's say you're dealing with a roll. If she ate half a roll, then the second half would be her leftovers. If she cut a roll in half and ate half, then the other half is not leftovers. Logically. The heterim of eating her leftovers, we have over here in the Ramah. Yes?
if she eats some of her leftovers and put it in the fridge and have it for another studio.
If it's clear that it's her leftover, that we're coming to now, what are the heterim? Im lo sheyafsik adam acher beinehem. If someone else, in other words, she left over half a roll, and then one of the kids took a quarter of the roll, and a quarter is left, that's not a problem. Oh, shehurak mikos ze elkos acher afilu huchzar lekos harishon. This, in other words, if the plate would be changed, that already would sort of take it out of the realm of linking it in with her. It's no longer her leftovers. It's leftovers. Right? The plate has been changed and put into a Ziploc bag. Or im shasa sahi vehu eino yodea verotza lushtot mikos shela eina tzricha lahagid lo shelo yishte. If he's unaware that this is her leftovers, there's no reason to make him aware. What's pointed out over here, vehimu teres lushtos hakosh shasahu. This is a one-way street. That this is muta for her to eat his leftovers. It's also for him to eat her leftovers. The Taz over here, Sifkatan Hay, points out, he go mirgalagala avera. Husbands and wives have different assumptions of what's normal. Now, again, this is very, very relative to culture, l'chora. The culture over here was that the wife left the husband, would normally eat the husband's leftovers. Mashenken, and a husband, by his eating his wife's leftover, would show a degree of chiba. There are homes where things work the other way around, that a woman would never eat her husband's leftovers, and the husband was brought up with parents or grandparents went through the Depression, or told him that poor people in China, you know, would be able to stay alive for months eating what's left on your plate, and the husband just can't see food that's left and would always eat leftovers. But the halacha is that the wife is allowed to eat her husband's leftovers, and the husband is not allowed to eat his wife's leftovers. Yes?
Just pouring the wife's, she drink, took a sip of a cup, pouring that into a different glass, then the husband can drink?
Yeah. That takes away the uniqueness. Okay, let's just continue in the realm of food, and then we'll come back to the other halachos. No. Right. Okay. Sif Yud. Kol malachot she'isha osala ba'ala nida osala ba'ala chutz mimizigat hakos. She'asura lemzog hakos bifanav. She's not allowed to pour from a pitcher Coca-Cola for him into his cup. Ulhanicha lefanav al hashulchan. Elim kain ta'ase shum heter. What's pointed out over here by the shach is hu hadin in terms of foods, namely that a wife is not allowed to serve her husband, and a husband is not allowed to serve his wife. This already goes in both directions, unless it is shelo b'fanav, that's what's mutar, namely the husband's down at the table, then the wife could put it directly in front of him, or it's being served on a serving platter for the whole table, namely, and simply the husband is the first one to get the platter, but it's not being served directly to him. Or there's a shinui, namely that either she serves it with a different hand, then she would normally serve it, or instead of putting it directly in front of him, putting the bowl of soup in front of him, puts the bowl of soup a bit to the side, and then he takes it from where it is and moves it over to his place. That's what's mentioned over here. Elim kein ta'ase shum heker kigon shetanichenu ha'ashulchan biyad smo, al tanichenu ha'kar al ha'keset afilu biyad yemina. Then we have in Sifu Gimel, taking it one step further, Kishem Shasur Limzog Lo Kachu Asar Limzog. That we pointed out, it's a two-way street. V'lo'od Ela, when it comes to wine, as opposed to Coca-Cola, here we have a unique chumra. Ela afilu l'shtoach l'kos shel yayin asur, loshna kos shel bracha, loshna kos acher, imhu miyuchad la. This is not a question of whether she's at the table, she's not at the table, you do it with your left hand, you do it with your right hand, you do it with no hands. How do you do it with no hands? You send it via someone else, that one is not allowed to pour wine for one's wife. So how does one deal then with Kiddush? How does one's wife participate in drinking from the kos of Kiddush? So we have generally two eitzot. One eitzot is that the husband will simply leave over from his kos, and the wife will walk over, take the cup, and drink it. She's allowed to drink his leftovers. Or he will fill a number of kosot, and they will be passed around the table without there being a specific kos for her. And there are four guests at the table, and he's filling four kosot and begins passing it around. Everyone takes a kos. Then there's no concept over here of the kos miyuchad. But if there's a kos miyuchad, it is problematic. Okay, so again, chacham eina barosho. One should in advance talk with one's wife how one is going to be noheg, and then the best thing is to be noheg that way whether she's a nida or she's not a nida, particularly when one has children around the table, that they just know that Ima comes over and drinks Abba's kos, or that Abba sends the kosot around, that there's no special kos for Ima. Okay? In other words, that depends as many times what one saw in one's own home, or if one is beginning this noag on one's own, so one sets up a noag that will create a degree of tzniut that no one around the table would be aware whether she is a nida, whether the mother is a nida or not a nida. Going back to Sif Hei, okay, so we discussed the kitchen. Now let's move over to the bedroom. Lo yeshev mita hamiyuchedet la afilu shelo befaneha. This is something that would bring an individual to a level of hirhur, and therefore it's even shelo befaneha. What about her sitting? So the Pisrei Tshuva Sifkat on Ches points out that Nirali demuteret shelo befanav. And we again, women have different hormonal systems than men. For a wife to sit on a husband's bed when he's not around, that does not bring about hirhur. For the husband to sit on his wife's bed, that would bring about hirhur, unless pisrei tshuva sifkat antes, unless she's not in town. If she's out of town, so you know, it's, what's it going to be maharer? So that would not be a problem. But if she's in town, just not in the house, it would be a problem. We'll come back to the Rama over here. Sivav lo yishan ima b'mita afilu kol echad b'digdo ve'ein nogin zo b'zo. But rather, says the Rama, afilu yesh lekol echad matzav b'fnei atzmo afilu im shochvim b'shtei mitot amitot nogot zo b'zo asus. The Mechaber says that they should not have a common mattress, that the husband and the wife should each have their own mattress. And the Rama points out, even when they have their own mattresses, the mattresses should be separated. What does it mean to be separated? So Darkei Tshuva quotes the name of the Ari, that the minimum of separation is that the blankets or the quilts, whatever one's using as coverage, should not be touching one another, such that when the wife turns around in bed, the husband would not be aware of it because she has her own set of sheets and covers, and it doesn't affect his sheets and covers. What's not mentioned over here is the headboard, namely that there's no iser of having a common headboard. The problem are the mattresses, not the headboard. The Sif Yud Aleph, to continue in terms of the bedroom, Asuru lahatzia mitato bifanav, dafka prisat sadinim v'hamichse shudera chiba, namely to turn down the bed, to create, you know, when the husband comes into his room, he finds that the bed has already been prepared for sleep. That's something that she shouldn't do when he is watching her, because that's already considered to be a derech chiba. But hatzas hakarim v'aksasos shu torach, but to change the linens, which is a pain in the neck, that's muter befanav shelo befanav, because that's simply an act of a maid. That doesn't show necessarily a relationship between a husband and a wife. And again, this is a two-way street. Okay, so we've spoken about the kitchen, spoken about the bedroom. Let's move back to the living room. The Rama in Sif Hei, the Rama points out, Osar leishev al safsal aroch mitnadnedet veina mechuberet lekotel kisheishto nida yoshevet aleha. That if you have a sofa that has one long cushion, and when you sit on one side of the cushion, the other side goes up and vice versa, or if there were to be one of these swings, which is, you know, it's on the porch, coming from the ceiling, again, that everyone feels the other person's motion. You feel when someone else gets on, when someone else gets off, etc. That is a problem of bringing about hirhur, unless there's a third party on the sofa. V'yesh matirim kish adam acher mafsik v'yeshev b'nehem. Then you have no idea whose body you are feeling. Or if they're sitting on two different cushions, such that, again, neither one is aware necessarily of the movement of the other party. V'chein, says the Rama, lo yelech im ishto ba'agola achas o besfina achas im holech rak derech tiyul kagon leganos lepardesim v'kayotze bazeh. Avol im holech mi'ir le'ir letzrachav mutar, avol pi shehu v'ishto hen levadan o levad sheyeshu v'derech shelo yigu zel bazeh. This statement to the Trumas Hadeshen, we have a Machlokes Achronim, later Achronim, how to interpret it. The Orach HaShulchan understands over here that the Iser is to go on a pleasure trip alone with one's wife. Period. In other words, it's irrelevant of the mode of transportation. If the purpose of the trip is pleasure, just to be together, romance, then one shouldn't be alone with one's wife. You can take a trampist if you want, but you shouldn't be alone with your wife. That's the way the Orach HaShulchan understands. And that would mean also that it's time to go for a walk in the forest with your wife would be a problem if you're going to be alone. The moment that there's a purpose for your journey, you're going to a wedding, you're going to visit Kivrei Tzadikim, you're going on business, you're going to buy something together, you're going to visit grandma, then, I mean, even though you're going with your wife, but becholzot, there's already a purpose aside from just being together, or were there to be someone else along with you, even if it's her pleasure, that's mutar. Rav Moshe said, nothing doing, that's too much of a chumra. That's not what the Trumas HaDeshen is speaking about. The Trumas HaDeshen is speaking about agala osfina. He's talking about a canoe, a rowboat, namely where the mode of transportation generally brings about a certain degree of nigiyah between one and the other. That you're not talking about a car with two bucket seats. You're talking over here about a hayride. So to go on a hayride, that is the problem. And namely, it's not just a question that you're going with your wife, but you're doing it in a manner in which two young people who are very much in love with one another would be very happy taking such a trip, that the transportation mode causes a nidnud. But if not, simply to go for a walk together is not a problem. To take a ride together, even just to be with one another, is not a problem. That's the way Rav Moshe understands, and that's the way that most people are nohag. Okay, that's what we have over here in Sif Hey. Just to complete the siman, yes?
So even if on a cell phone there's a hacker or something in between, is that still a problem?
Excuse me?
If there's a hacker or something in between on a cell phone, is that also a problem?
The sofa simply says that the sofa should depends how the sofa is built. I assume the sofas in grooves that, you know, words are such that, you know, it's they're hard enough that there's no necessary feeling between one and the other. And then as long as they don't touch one another, everything is fine. You don't have to necessarily put something between one. You go on a bus, you know, so if the bus has two seats that are separated, so each husband and wife sit on a seat separately. If it's a bench. And you're in the back seat of a taxi who's rushing to where he's going, and everyone's going from one side to side. So then put something between the two of you, such that you'll be leaning on the suitcase or the pocketbook, or she'll be leaning on the pocketbook rather than you're leaning on one another. That's just, you know, it's that goes back to Sif Aleph, to the question of Negiah. Yeah.
I wonder about if there would be a situation where there just has to be three people sitting in the. I remember really mentioned this, and that he said there's not focus whether or not it's better to sit next to somebody else's wife or sit next to your own wife in a case where there's nothing else to do about it.
It appears to me under all circumstances you should sit next to your own wife rather than sit next to someone else's wife. I can't, in other words, and.
Well, because the Negiah Shalodeh. Chiva is only a problem with your own wife.
Correct. Again, I repeat myself. I think it's better under all circumstances next to your own wife rather than sitting next to someone else's wife. Irrelevant of Nagia. Yes?
Many, many years ago, there was a specific situation and then a specific couple. This was like at least 8 years ago. And I remember specifically they wouldn't get into the car because they were people number 5 and 6 and they would have had to sit in, you know, and a bench, and I guess it was too close, and no one realized at the time, and then eventually they walked home instead. So is that the right decision to do, and instead of, you know, because obviously then everyone realized, I didn't know then, but I think everyone then realized that, you know, what the situation was. So should they have been so, I don't know if it's machmer or does that make our
thing? I think that you know, that in such a situation, my humble opinion, such a situation was they should sit down in the taxi and simply try their best not to touch one another. Rav Moshe has a tshuva about being in a subway and being pressed against the person who is next to you, and points out that that's not considered to be, it's not even negiyah shalchiba, it's not a question of negiyah shalchiba or negiyah sheno shalchiba. That's not the derech of a husband and a wife, to be pressed against one another in the subway. And so here, why should a taxi be worse than a subway? If in a subway, the husband and the wife can be pressed against one another, it doesn't have to go jumping out the window. So in the taxi, doesn't have to jump out the window. That's not the normal way of, in other words, that there's no... if you want to, honest or whatever, but it's simply not the way that husbands and wives relate to one another, to be pressed against one another in that way. Yeah.
According to Rav Moshe, there's no problem with walks or a pleasure trip.
Correct. The problem is being in a mode of transportation that would bring about Nigia with one to the other. To sit on, in a small rowboat, in other words, next to one another, right? Where it's obvious that, you know, you're going to go bumping into one another. So if you're rowing to Shir, right, you live on this little island, you're rowing to Shir, so then to say that. But it's not to row because, you know, you're on this lake in New Hampshire, and it's what you do when you're on the lake in New Hampshire. So then, you know, it's there are other mean matters, so sit on the porch and watch other people row. Tov, Siv Zayin. Lo yistakel afilu ba'akeva ve'lo b'mekomos mechusim sheba. Over here, we have an iser of histaklus b'mekomos hamachusim, Gemara Nedarim on Daf Chaf. And what's mentioned over there, that includes also her hair, which is normally covered. Rav Moshe has a tshuva that this would depend as to how the wife normally walks around the house when she's not a nida. If the wife walks around the house like Kimchis, the mother of all the Kohanim Gedolim, namely that she tries to cover her hair, even if there's no one else around but her husband, which is a Midat Chassidut, and the Zohar speaks very, very much in favor of such a practice, then her hair is considered to be Mekomos Mechusim Shebegufa, and then when she's a Nida, the husband should try and be careful not to watch her when she takes off her hair covering. However, when the woman is not a Nida, and no one else is home but her husband, she normally walks around the house with her hair uncovered, which is mutar al pidin, midina de gemara, im ken lo hinachta makom labashal Avram Avinu, then Rav Moshe says, l'chori, her hair is not considered to be mekomos mechusim. But he says, tov lahachmir, which I guess as a heker. As to what a woman should do, so the Mishnah Berurah is very, very insistent that the women nowadays should try and follow the example of Kimchis. But again, one should realize that this is a chumrah that depends upon the husband and the wife and their relationship and, you know, it's where they're holding in terms of their spiritual growth, v'chulei v'chulei. One has to be aware, though, that if a woman is going to walk around her house, which she is allowed to do, with her hair uncovered, that limits what the husband is allowed to do in the house. And we could read the New York Times in the house. However, he would, in other words, if he wanted to make a bracha, she would have to go run and cover her hair. If he wanted to bench, she would have to cover her hair. If he wanted to tell her a Dvar Torah, he would have to go and cover her hair. In other words, so one has to take into account what the husband usually does when he's in the house. But if this is the type of a person who normally is benching or learning and sharing things with his wife, so then her hair, basically, she'd be more comfortable simply covering her hair than constantly taking her hair covering on and off, just to prove a point. Yeah?
Two questions. About this last idea we just made, can the husband just face the other way? If he wants to make brachos Ishma, whatever?
Yeah, you can do that.
Anyway, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, we're saying, but, you know, it's the shame ma. I mean, look, everyone has to have his own lifestyle and everyone has to be comfortable. So it would appear to me that it would be more considerate of the wife to her husband to allow him to sit at the table and bench, you know, like sitting at the table rather than turning his chair around and benching in that direction, because so she can prove a point that this is Nida Gemara.
Does
Ramosh
make the same point about Kolisha? Like,
In terms of the singing voice of a woman, when a woman is a Nida, that's a Pisrei Tshuva over here, Sivkatan Yud. Pisrei Tshuva, Sivkatan Yud, points out, Tzarech Ian, Imutar Lishmoa Kol Zemer Shela, Meachad Begmar Vishabas, Daf Yud Gimel Amar Makish Isha Nida Lish Eshet Reyehu, Derak the Yichud Shari Mishum Da Torah Hiida Suga Bashal Shanim, etc. But Ukamosha Amru Kol Beisha Erva, etc. So he leaves it as Tzarech Iyun. Rav Moshe Paskins L'chumra. V'yarach HaShulchan Paskins L'chumra. I'm not aware of anyone who Paskins L'chumra. Rav Moshe Paskins L'chumra even in terms of Zmirot, that when a woman is a Nida, that she should not sing Zmirot out loud if she, in other words, if she and her husband are the two people at the table. Okay, that's Rav Moshe, the Pisrei Tshuva leaves as Sarachiyin, Rav Moshe, the Arach HaShulchan, Ar Machmir. Sif Tes, Bekoshi Hitiru Lal Hitkashet Bimei Nidutai El Kedei Shalot Hitgane Al Ba'ala. Over here, this is a concept of consideration. A wife generally is attractive to her husband. When she adds makeup, etc., etc., generally she does it to make herself more attractive in the eyes of her husband. So to be considerate means not to overdo it, not to walk around dressed to kill when one's husband is not allowed to be maharer even about his wife. But on the other hand, what's pointed out over here is not to exaggerate in the other direction and walk around, in a way that one's husband would find his wife unattractive. There's a difference between being attractive and being sexy. In other words, so a wife should be attractive to her husband at all times. But being attractive and being pulling attention to herself, those are two different worlds. So in terms of makeup, in terms of perfumes, etc., then during nidut, it should be done in a minimal manner, which would create attractiveness, but not beyond. On the other hand, the husband certainly has to realize also his limits. So back in Sif Katan Aleph in the Pisrei Tshuva, he points out the Asur lahariach mi besamim shala, that a husband shouldn't walk around smelling, opening up a bottle of his wife's perfume and taking in a deep breath, because again, we're assuming that there is a concept of association which is going to simply hurt the husband himself. Sif Yudeis Asura litzok lo mayim lirchotz panav yadav raglav afilu eina nogas bo afilu heim mayim tzonanim. In England, I think this is called to draw the bath, right? To draw the bath. In other words, that there is just like turning the bed is a sign of affection. Drawing the bath is a sign of affection. There's no sign of affection preparing tilas yadayim for one's husband or one's wife. That's pretty clear. And this again goes in two directions. What is left? Let's move over to Sif Yudalid and take it through from there to the end of the Siman. Kol elo harchaka sarach laharplik bein b'yamei midusa bein b'yamei libuna, etc. The Ramah quotes a yesh omrim to distinguish between those two time periods, but the bottom line is the yesh lahachmir. That's the way we paskin. The Taz says that we, in other words, that the moment a woman becomes a nida until the time that she goes to the mikveh, we don't distinguish between these various reminders. Yes? Not applicable nowadays. The only big day nida that, in other words, the big day nida that he speaks about are big day nida that would be external. The big day nida that we speak about are levishat levanim during a certain period of time that we'll deal with separately. Sif Tesvav, but that was Rav Moshe's proof that there's no lack of tzniut in terms of transferring an object by putting it down, that if a woman in the time of Chazal wore big day nida, so what is the problem over here in terms of doing an act which they would only do when she's a nida? Im hu chole ve'ein lo mishi yishamshenu zulatam muteret l'shamsho rak tizvaher biyoser shetuchal me'archot zatpona v'yoda v'ragla v'atzo asmita b'fanav. Namely, that the acts of Nagia or the Harchakos should be those that do not, in other words, that they're going to be Mevater on, should be those that don't show a special degree of affection. This was Rav Willig's heter in terms of transferring a child. A child is Begeder Chola, a baby is Begeder Chola Sheesh Bo Sakana, and we see that by a Chola there is room to be Mekel. Rav Willig gave the heter. I don't necessarily see the connection over here. It's dealing with a husband is a chola. The other direction, in terms of the wife being a chola, then Osir Lebal Ligaba says the Mechaber Kedei L'Shamsha Kedom L'Hekima L'Hashkiva L'Somcha. But the Rama says that we paskin L'Kula, that since clearly over here we're not dealing with a Negiya Shal Chiba, we are Mekel Hu Hadin. The Mechaber Rama L'Shita Tam in Sif Yud Zayin Im bala rofei osr lemasha ish lahadofek, and the Ramah continues with himasha kasafti that we are matir. Namely, we have over here a very basic machlokas, as pointed out by the Shach, between the Mechaber and the Ramah in terms of what level of negia do we have an iser d'oraisa, that the Ramah that the Mechaber understands that any negia is already osr d'oraisa. We have problems of yehereg v'alyavor. We're not going to be mekil one iota. In terms of a husband towards his wife, Masha Enkein, according to the Rama, only Nishuk V'chibuk, what the Rambam calls Negiya Sheish B'chibuk, Zasir D'oraisa, Nikiyastam is a harchaka midrabanan, and b'makom choli, the same way that a woman can be mekel to help her husband, the husband can be mekel to help his wife. That's the way we paskin. Okay, that's one. Okay, if we can move over to, maybe we'll hold it. If it's okay with you, maybe we'll hold off with this until tomorrow after the Yoredei Shir. Is that okay? Maybe tomorrow morning, first thing in the morning. Would that be okay? 9:15? 9:15 in the morning tomorrow?
Yeah.
Okay? So 9:15 in the morning, we'll just finish up with how a woman becomes Tahara. It will be under an hour. No, it's be closer to a half hour. I'm sorry that it took a little more time. Okay, we're done. 9:15 tomorrow is not, I'm not interfering with anything. I mean, other than your own learning, but there's no shiur going on.